goes to show that the not every service can be perfect. I think I haven't dropped my guitar in years. But that's what happens when you don't look what you're doing, when you're paying attention to something else. I have a phone in my hand, it's like, guitar, phone, go. That'd be fun. It will bounce. I've had it for many, many years. It's wonderful to be here to share with you this morning. We're in the Old Testament, and when Ron initially told me about the Old Testament reading on the screen, I was it's the Old Testament. What am I going to get? And to be honest, I have to say, it was really quite positive when I went through it all. It was really quite positive what I managed to get out of it. Myself, personally, and hopefully what I'm going to be able to share with you this morning. So we've got two readings. I'm going to break them down. I'm going to do one and then we're going to dip into the other. And hopefully, I'm going to bring it all together for you so you've got something nice to take on, something to remember. So I called this talk The Divine Alone When Moses Got in Sync with God. And this is where a revelation that I had when I was reading through this, finding out how we can pray to then align with God's will. But yes, this is where Moses starts his work. So we're going to be in Exodus 32, 7 and 14. I have put it in red and yellow just so you can see where God is talking in red. Moses is talking in yellow. I hope you can read it. I wasn't sure. I looked at Amy and was like, is it going to come up on the screen? Okay, but it looks fine. But I will read it anyway. So we're in Exodus 32 and we're going to go from 7 to 14. So the Lord said to Moses, go down, because your people, whom you have brought out of Egypt, have become corrupt. They have been quick to turn away from what I commanded them, and have made themselves an idol cast in the shape of a calf. They have bowed down to it and sacrificed to it, and have said, these are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt. I have seen these people, the Lord said to Moses, and they are a stiff-necked people. Now leave me alone so that my anger may burn against them and that I may destroy them. Then I will make you into a great nation. But Moses sought favour with the Lord his God. Lord, he said, why should your anger burn against your people, whom you brought out of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, it was with evil intent that he brought them out, to kill them in the mountains and to wipe them off the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce anger. Relent and do not bring disaster on your people. Remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, to whom you swore by your own self, I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and I will give your descendants all this land. I promised them, and it will be their inheritance forever. Then the Lord relented and did not bring on his people the disaster he had threatened. So we can see in this passage, we encounter a really powerful and intimate moment between Moses and God. One that reveals depth of intercessory prayer and the way it functions, not only to plead for mercy, but also to change the heart of both the one praying and the one being prayed to. Through Moses' prayer, we learn three key lessons about the nature of prayer that still resonate with us today. My first point, we see in Moses' prayer the boldness of intercessory prayer. We see how bold he is. When God declares his intention to destroy the Israelites for their idolatry, Moses does not shrink back in fear or apathy. Instead, he steps forward. He intercedes on behalf of the people and boldly confronts God's wrath. This teaches us that prayer is not simply a passive request, but an active engagement with God on behalf of others. Moses' appeal is not based on any merit of the people themselves, but on God's own character and promises. He reminds God of his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Similarly, in our prayers, we're invited to approach God with confidence, standing in the gap for others, knowing that we intercede for the world around us, and our prayers can become a powerful tool for God's intervention and mercy. And we should step forward, and we should be bold in our prayers, just as Moses was. And it's demonstrated here in this Hebrews passage 4:16. It says, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. and it encourages us to be bold, to be confident. And in 1 John 5:14 to 14:15, it says, and this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have requests that we have asked him. And John assures us in that passage that if we pray in alignment with God and his will, he will hear us. My second point I wanted to pick up on was prayer teaches us the importance of humility. In the face of the people's sin, Moses does not take a self-righteous stance, but rather identifies with people's failings. He doesn't distance himself from their transgressions, but instead pleads with God as if he were personally complicit. His prayer reflects a deep understanding that he too is dependent on God's mercy. This attitude of humility is crucial in our own prayers. Far too often, we pray from a place of superiority or self-righteousness. But Moses reminds us that genuine prayer recognises our need for God's grace. It calls to us to stand not above others, but with them, acknowledging that we too are in need of his forgiveness and mercy. This humility in prayer deepens our relationship with God and aligns our hearts with his purpose. And to back that up, in Luke it says, in Luke 18, but the tax collector standing far off would not even lift his eyes to them, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. And this parable highlights the fact that the tax collector recognised his own sinfulness and pleads mercy. In the same way, Moses' prayer reflects a similar posture of humility, recognising the people's sin and pleading for God's mercy. And in James 4:10, it says, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. And in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, humility is key to our approach to God. And if we come with him in this manner, we can hear from him faithfully. My third point, Moses' prayer highlights the power of prayer to change God's heart, or more accurately, to align us to his will. While we know that God is sovereign, and his ultimate purposes are unchanging, Moses' intercession reflects a divine partnership between human prayer and God's plans. The text tells us that God relented from disaster he planned. This doesn't mean that Moses changed God's mind, in inverted commas, but rather God, in his mercy, chose to listen to the voice of his servant. It teaches us that God is relational. He desires for his people to engage in the ongoing work of his kingdom through prayer. Our prayers aren't a formality. They're a meaningful part of God's unfolding plan. And when we pray, we align ourselves to his will. In doing so, we are part of that redemptive work that he's doing in this world. And this is our second passage this morning. So we're in Exodus 33, and we're looking at 12 to 23. So Moses said to the Lord, you have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favour with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways, so I may know you and continue to find favour with you. Remember that this nation is your people. The Lord replied, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked because I am pleased with you and I know you by name. Then Moses said, now show me your glory. And the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you. And I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But, he said, you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. Then the Lord said, there is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen." Now you might understand why we're saying Rock of Ages cleft for me this morning. I've got the passage, I asked it to be dropped in, definitely. But yes, you can only see a small part of God. You couldn't see his face, but you could see his back. It's another profound moment, really, in this relationship between Moses and God. And it provides a real rich foundation for our understanding of prayer, our intimacy with God, and the pursuit of his presence. First, we see the importance of knowing and seeking God's face. Verse 13 says, "Teach me now your ways, that I may know you." It's a real powerful expression of longing, not just to know about God, but to truly understand his heart and his will. Moses recognises that it is not enough to merely experience God's acts or blessings. What matters most is to be intimately connected with God.
Yeah.
And the way God works. And this request teaches us that genuine prayer is the pursuit of God's presence, a desire not simply for his hand in what he can do for us, but his heart in who he is and how he moves the world. Today, as we seek to grow in prayer and going through this series, we are reminded that it's essential to pray for understanding of God's ways. This is a prayer for wisdom and insight, and asking God to reveal his purposes to us so that we can align our lives and prayers more deeply with his will. In a world filled with distractions, this passage calls us to slow down and seek God's heart above all else, to make our prayer life a means of truly knowing him more deeply.
Yeah.
Matthew 6:33, it says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." So prayer aligns us with those priorities, to understand the kingdom, to seek his righteousness, teaching us how we can be better connected with what God wants us to be doing as a people and as a church.
Yeah.
Secondly, Moses' bold request to see God's glory. It's pretty, that's pretty out there. I don't know if I would have said that to him, to be honest, but Moses had that relationship and he says, "I want to see your glory." He says, "Please show me your glory," in verse 18. And it reveals, really, a depth of his desire for his intimacy. It's not a superficial request. Moses wants to experience the full weight of God's divine presence. God's response to Moses' request, stating that no one can see his face and live, reminds us of how awe-inspiring and unapproachable nature of God's holiness. Yet God's willingness to show Moses a glimpse of his glory underscores the grace and mercy that allows us to be deeper and allows us to draw near to him. This teaches us that our prayer is a journey into deeper intimacy. One where our hunger is for his presence to meet us and his grace to be bestowed on us, but always be tempered by his holiness. Just as Moses desired to experience the glory of God, our prayers should reflect on that longing experience of God's presence in a really profound way. We may not fully comprehend his glory, but God graciously reveals himself in ways that we don't even see or imagine sometimes, through people, through work, through acts and what we're doing in our daily lives. And today we're invited to pray with a similar boldness. We can be bold in our prayers in front of God. You don't have to shy away. Whatever it is you want, you can ask, and he will reveal to you when it's the time. But in that prayer, in that boldness, make it a desire to encounter God more deeply, knowing that he desires to reveal himself to us. Matthew 28:20, it says, "And behold, I am with you always to the end of age." And just as God's presence was crucial for Moses and the Israelites, we as followers of Christ, and that's what I call myself a follower of Christ, are assured that Jesus' presence is with us, particularly in our prayers and our daily lives. And in John 14:16-17, it says, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." the desire Moses had for God's presence among his people is fulfilled in the New Testament right here through the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit that we call upon this morning to be with us, to be in our hearts, to open us up. And so we can make it more intimate and more accessible for us today. And thirdly, the passage reveals the significance of God's presence as our ultimate security. When God agrees to go with Moses and the Israelites after their sin with the golden calf, he declares, "My presence will go with you and I will give you rest." I just want to rest on those words for a few moments. My presence will go with you, I will give you rest. And I suspect there are many people close to us today and around us and in this church and in our families, in our friendship groups, that need to hear those words this morning. My presence will go with you and I will give you rest. But Moses recognises that without God's presence, people would have no distinct identity and they would be utterly lost. God's presence isn't just about blessing. It's the very thing that divides the people of Israel. For Moses was not the promise of land and wealth. It wasn't that. It wasn't power that mattered most to him. It was the assurance that God was going to be with him and he was going to be with the people. That's what he wanted. And in our world today where uncertainty, anxiety and distraction are prevalent, we are reminded that the greatest gift God can give us is his presence. It's the presence of God that brings peace, brings guidance, brings strength. Our prayers should reflect that deep desire for that presence. And our lives should be rooted in confidence as we draw near to God. And he draws near to us in every situation that we present him. Philippians 4, 6-7, very common one, and I've read it enough times, I probably know it by heart by now, but do not be anxious about anything, wouldn't that be nice? But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present the request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guide your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, we want to focus just quickly on the fact it says, with thanksgiving. So when we come to God with a problem, do we actually give thanks at the same time? Thanks for his presence. Thanks for allowing us to be really bold and ask for these things. And I know when I read that, I was like, actually, probably I don't. Probably just tell him the problem and go, "There's a problem," and then drop it, you know, and say, "What's yours?" And I probably am not giving enough thanksgiving just for him being here, but being present with us before we then delve into the real issue. Now, for those who don't know, obviously not everyone's in the prayer group. Mum was given a remission notice for her cancer last week. So she's in remission now, which is fantastic. Still very unwell because of other things, but the cancer at least is now in remission. And she said to me and said, and I said, "Oh, it's wonderful. We're going to give glory to God on Sunday for that." And she texted me and said, "I want to be greedy. I want to ask for more." And I said, "Hold on. I'm in this passage. I've got an answer for that. There is no such thing as being greedy." And I said, "You need to just be bold before our God. He will deliver what you need if you're prayerful and you're committed to him through Jesus Christ." So it was lovely to be able to share that with my mum. As she said that, I was in the middle of writing this. And I said to her, "Just be bold. Look at Moses. He was bold. He didn't shy away. Yes, the Lord has blessed you. He's given you remission. That's fantastic. And we should give thanks and glory to that." But we can still ask for more. It doesn't mean that it just stops there and goes, "That's my bit." And we are a bit like that. I think that's a very British thing to be like that. We've had our bit, that's fine. But I said to her, "Sing the song. Be bold, be strong, for the Lord your God is with you." And I knew it. But it's a fabulous children's song. And I sang it for years. And I say, okay, borderline children's element song, but it is a good children's song.
And you have the actions of it on.
Exactly. But this passage, it reflects that don't be anxious about it, but with prayer and petition and with thanksgiving. So give thanks. Thanks for the remission. But you can ask for more. Yeah. There's no stopping. God doesn't allow, doesn't have a limit. There is no limit to God. So I hope this message that I've brought this morning is really clear. Prayer is about cultivating a relationship with God that seeks his ways, longs for his presence, and finds security in his abiding love. Like Moses, we are called to ask God to reveal his heart to us, to desire his glory, and to rest in the assurance that his presence is our greatest treasure. In a world that often seeks fulfillment in external things, achievements, success, material things, and is increasingly disconnected from God, as we've seen, we're reminded through Moses' prayer that the true source of peace and purpose lies in the nearness of God. We want to invite God's mercy into our lives and into the lives of those around us. And as we engage in prayer today, we are invited to pray boldly, to seek intimacy with God, and to rely fully on his presence as the ultimate foundation of our lives.
Yeah.
Whether we face trials, moments of joy, God's presence is the source of our strength, and in his presence, that will guide us and sustain us, and we continue to walk in relationship with him.
Yeah.
Let us take seriously the example Moses sets, knowing that our prayers, when offered in faith and humility, can transform hearts, can change circumstances, and can draw us that much closer to the heart of God. Amen.
Amen.